Then he remembered Pete Quintana. Sylvia stood at the side of the bed.
Leona Rosenberg told me that one of your crew got killed. That Hispanic guy,
Pete Quintana.
There was an explosion? Your face looks burned on one side.
I'll be all right, Harry said. I should be home in a few days. She said nothing. How are the kids? He asked.
Vicky's dating that Vietnamese boy from her class again. I don't trust him.
Harry smiled faintly. But we can trust Vicky. She's got a good head on her shoulders. Shaking her head, Sylvia said,
I don't like the way he looks at her.
He comes into the house, doesn't he? He doesn't just toot the horn and expect her to go running out to him. The kid's got some manners.
For God's sake, Harry, you'd let your daughter get raped just because you think the boy's polite?
Don't start, Sylvie.
I don't see why Vicky can't date her own kind of boys, she grumbled.
Harry tried to change the subject. How's Denise?
She's fine. Breezing through school. They want her to come out for the orchestra next term.
That's good. And suddenly they had nothing more to talk about. Nothing that wouldn't lead to an argument. Sylvia stood by the bed for a few moments more, looking as if she wanted to get away.
I'll be out of here in a couple of days, Harry said.
She nodded.
Good. Call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
I've got to be going now. The kids will be coming home from school.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Harry almost said, don't bother, but he kept the thought to himself. Pasadena, California. Hartoonian residence. Harry felt silly in the powered wheelchair, but he had to admit that it was better than trying to walk. Sylvia had come to the hospital and stayed alongside him as he rolled down the hospital corridor, checked out at the admissions counter, and then wheeled himself outside and up to the SUV that Anson Aerospace had provided him for the trip home. The driver and one of the hospital's orderlies helped Harry into the SUV's right-hand seat with a minimum of agony, and then stowed his wheelchair in the back. Once home, Harry realized that the world looks a lot different when you're confined to a wheelchair. The split-level house had only two sets of stairs, and they were no more than six steps each, but to Harry they suddenly looked formidable. Carefully, with the SUV's driver grasping his left arm and Sylvia his right, he got up from the chair. Then he stood there with his daughters staring wide-eyed at him while the driver carried the chair down the little flight as easily as if it weighed only a few ounces. He walked down the steps like an arthritic old man, Sylvia and the driver holding him again, and settled into the chair once more. I'll be okay now, he said to the driver.
Thanks.
The guy dipped his chin in acknowledgement, grinned at the two girls standing there, and left the house. Sylvia stood in front of him, looking him over with a disapproving scowl on her face. Harry nudged the chair's control stick and wheeled past her down the carpeted hallway. As he turned into the bedroom, Sylvia said from behind him,
Not there. I set up the guest room for you.
Her voice sounded edgy.
The doctor said it'll be better for you.
Harry spun the chair around. Sylvia looked strained, almost frightened. He started to say something to her, but gave it up. Without another word, he turned the chair around and rolled it to the guest room. Sylvia and the girls fussed around him as he got out of the chair on his own and stretched out gratefully on the queen-sized bed of the guest room. His back throbbed, and he felt the beginnings of a headache pinching at the back of his neck.